This morning we would like to conclude our fellowship on that particular subject of the family. We would like to read just one verse. Will you please turn to Joshua chapter 24. The book of Joshua chapter 24. 约书亚记24章15节. Joshua chapter 24 verse 15. Just the last sentence. As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's all we'll read for this morning. We have been fellowshipping together on this important subject of the family. First of all, we come to see that family is originated by God, not by man. It is a divine concept, not just a human idea. When God created man with a family. Male and female created he them, and he bring them together to be one. It is to this family that God said, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue the earth. The first family on earth, before sin came into this world, was an ideal family. There you'll find not only the man and the woman loved each other, but they were under God. God came and fellowship with them, and they were under God. And here you'll find the two were one. But unfortunately, sin entered into this world, and it destroyed the family life. But thank God, in the redemption of our Lord Jesus, you'll find he again had the family in view. Believe on the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, in order to have a family that is according to God, of course, first of all, you have to start with this matter of mating. Do not be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. It is God's will that two believers should be joined into one, and then that family will be on the right foundation. In the Word of God, we are instructed as to how to be husbands and how to be wives. God instructs the husband to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And God instructs the wives to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. And if both will live in the life of Christ, then one will know how to be head and the other will know how to be body. And in working together, that family will be established. And as the Lord blessed the family with children, and you'll find God again instructs how to be parents and how to be children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is just. Obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, lest they be disheartened. But bring them up in the admonition and the discipline of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, here you see a family under God. Christ is the head of that family. And the husband represents Christ as head in the family. And the wife serves in the family as the body that supports the family. And the children obey their parents, and the parents bring up the children in the admonition and discipline of the Lord. What a beautiful family that will be. How God will be honored. Now, what is the purpose of a family? Oftentimes we think that the purpose of having a family is that we may enjoy ourselves, that we may find satisfaction in life. Now, of course, when God gives man a family, He does want us to enjoy ourselves, enjoy one another, and He does desire that we may find satisfaction in family life. That is true. But this is not the primary purpose of having a family. If this is the case, then we will be all on a very selfish basis. The primary purpose of a family is that we may serve God with the family. That is God's purpose. If a family does not serve God, that family has lost its primary meaning. So here you'll find Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua made this statement, a public statement, when he was in his advanced age. If you go back to the life of Joshua, you'll find when he was a young man, he was chosen by Moses to lead the children of Israel to fight against the Amalekites. That was their first battle. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and while they were in the wilderness, you remember, the Amalekites attacked them at the rear. When they were tired, and some people lingered behind, then the Amalekites came to attack them. That was their first experience of a battle. They had never fought a battle before. And Joshua chose a young man. Moses chose a young man, Joshua, to lead the people. He gathered the young man, gathered the people together, and fought against the Amalekites. And you remember the story, Moses went up to the hill, and as long as his hands were lifted up, that is, as he interceded before God, Joshua overcame the enemy until he defeated them. That was the first mentioning in the Bible of Joshua, a young man who fought against the Amalekites. Now, you know, the Amalekites in the scripture is a type of the flesh. The flesh is like the Amalekite. It always tries to come upon us when we are weak. But here was a young man who overcame the Amalekite. Now, for a young man to overcome the Amalekite, in other words, for a young man to overcome his flesh, that is something. That is something in that young man. Most young people will give in to the flesh and try to give in to the lust and the desires of the flesh. But here is a young man who deals with his flesh, who disciplines himself, and he is able to overcome by the grace of God flesh. Through the prayer of Moses, through prayer, he overcomes the flesh. That is Joshua. Moses chose him to be his helper. And you remember when Moses went up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments? He went up with Joshua. It is true that he left Joshua in the middle of the mountain. Joshua didn't go to the top of the mountain. Moses went up alone to the top of the mountain. But Joshua remained on the mountain. As Moses waited before God 40 days and 40 nights, so was Joshua. Oftentimes we forgot Joshua. We thought that it was only Moses who was 40 days and 40 nights at the top of the mountain waiting upon God, receiving the Ten Commandments. But there was another man with him, a young man. Joshua was there on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. He was with him. And when Moses came down and saw the children of Israel sin against God, he broke the tablet, he moved his tent outside of the camp, and this camp of Moses, for the time being, tent of Moses, for the time being, was called the tent of meeting, until the tabernacle was built. And the Bible says, Joshua remained at the What a young man he was. He was a young man who was very near to God. He remained at the tent of meeting. He had such fellowship, communing with God. No wonder he had the strength to overcome the flesh. And when they came to the border of the promised land, he was one of the 12 spies that were sent to spy out the land. And only he and Caleb had an excellent spirit. So when they came back, they reported to the people, they encouraged the people and said, we will go in and possess the land as God has promised. Because God is with us. These people shall be our food. But the 10 spies were frightened. They brought evil reports. But Joshua had an excellent spirit. In other words, here you'll find a young man whose heart was set upon the Lord. He had a beautiful spirit. He set his heart upon the Lord to serve the Lord with all his heart. And he never wavered. And when Moses, before Moses died, he was chosen as a successor. And it was under Joshua that the children of Israel entered into the promised land. And the word of God came to Joshua, saying, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. As I am with Moses, I will be with you. And no one can stand before you. Keep the commandments. Meditate upon the word day and night. And nobody can stand before you. And in the strength of the Lord, he brought the children of Israel into the promised land. He conquered the enemies. He apportioned the land to the 12 tribes. And when he was in his advanced age, at his last service to the children of Israel, he gathered all the leaders, the elders. He gathered all the children of Israel to Shechem. And there you remember how he presented to them God. He said, you may choose.
God has done so much for you. But still you can choose whether you want to serve Him or you want to serve other gods. It's up to you. But whatever may be your choice, my choice has already been made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When he was a young man, he served the Lord with all his heart. Then he had a family. And he has such a good example. He lived such a life in the family. He was such a good father. And you'll find not only him, but his whole family have been serving the Lord. And his public declaration, statement to the children of Israel was, as for me and my house, not only me, also my house, my wife, my children, we all serve the Lord. No matter what your choice may be, we serve the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, how beautiful. What a testimony that is. And you know, this is the purpose of a family. God gave us families. God raised up families. It is for this purpose, that we may serve God as not just one member in the family serving God. Not just the father and the mother serving God. Not just the children serving God. Brothers and sisters, we find in many families, maybe just one member in the family is serving God. The rest of the members are not serving God. They may be saved, but they are not serving God. Or they may not be saved at all. And sometimes we have, the husband and the wife, the parents, they serve the Lord, but the children do not follow. They do not serve. And in certain families, we find some young people, they really love the Lord and they serve the Lord, but their parents do not. But God's will is that the whole family should serve God. We should serve God as a family. The old and the young, the man and the woman, the parents and the children, the husband and the wife, you'll find that the whole family should rise up and make the service of God as the purpose of their family. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the purpose of your family? You may have a purpose for yourself. But is there a purpose for your family? Do you know that God gives you a family with a reason? Have you find out the reason for a family? It is to serve God. It is only through the service of the family that God's purpose on this earth might be fulfilled. Let me put it in this way. In the beginning, in the book of Genesis, you find after God created man as a family, then God blessed that family and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue the earth. Spiritually speaking, God was entrusting that family with a tremendous mission. And the tremendous mission was, God was to use that family to defeat his enemy, to bring in his kingdom, to bring in his glory. And it was all to be done through that family. And when you come to the end of the Bible, what do you find there? You'll find a family. And truly, through that family, the enemy was defeated, the kingdom of God was brought in, And God was glorified. What is that family?
The church.
The family of God. In other words, in the beginning, you see just the beginning of a family. That God not only had created, but God had entrusted His mission to that family. And eventually you'll find, in Christ Jesus, He got a big family. The family of God. The church of God. And it is through that family, God's purpose was finally realized. So brothers and sisters, in view of that, the church of God, the big family of God, is made up of many Christian families. Therefore, you'll find every family in the family of God is entrusted with a tremendous work, and that is to serve God, to serve God's purpose. So first of all, let us be very clear on one point, and that is, what is the reason for my family? What is the purpose of my family? If my family is not serving God, we have missed somewhere. How do we serve God as a family? I think there is a beautiful picture in the Bible. There was a family that served God together as one. Which family was that? You would be surprised. It was not a family that was, from human standpoint, very sufficient, very prominent. No. It was a small family in a small village. The family of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Here was a family, from the human standpoint, they had almost nothing. The Bible did not mention about the father and the mother. So very likely, the father and the mother died early and left behind them two sisters and one brother. They were orphans. From the human standpoint, how could such an inadequate, insufficient, poor and destitute family serving God? We will think that if we want to serve God, we need to be something, you know? Then we can serve God. No. Here was a family without parents, just two sisters and a brother. And they lived in a small village, Bethany. They had no means to live in Jerusalem, the capital. They were somewhere hidden in the village. And they were poor. They were not rich at all. And yet you find this was a home that our Lord Jesus will return again and again during His life. Even at His last week on earth, He visited Jerusalem for the last time. He went to Jerusalem every day. This was His last effort to reach His people. And yet the Bible says every night He left Jerusalem and went to Bethany. It was a house that He love to visit. Love to live there. Love to go there. a family. Why? Because that family served him as a family. Not just individual, as a family. You remember in Luke chapter 10, our Lord Jesus came to that village, and of course he was welcomed and received by this little family. There must be other families in Bethany, more complete families, richer families. But our Lord did not go to any of them. Instead, you find our Lord Jesus went to this little family because he was received, welcomed there. You remember in John chapter 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, that is believing his name, he will give them the right to be children of God. In this world, they rejected the Lord. And yet, here was a little family that received the Lord with whole heart. And therefore, to that family, the Lord would just go. The Lord find his home, in a sense, you know, in that family. And when he entered into the family, you know what happened? Martha was busy with serving, preparing the food for the Lord. You know, it was not a rich family. But even though the food might be meager, but it was prepared with a full heart. So you'll find Martha was very busy trying to prepare as best as he could. And because he wanted to do something more than they usually did, you know, therefore you'll find he was so busy, he was in a sense distracted. He didn't know what to do. He was nervous. He was impatient because he wanted to do the best for the Lord. Think of that. Now, do not blame Martha. She wanted to do the best for the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord in the best way. And while she was preparing the food, you know, busily occupied, her sister Mary sat at the feet of the Lord and listen to the Lord. What is serving the Lord? Serving the Lord includes both of these two things. On the one hand, serving the Lord is to be engaged in doing things for the Lord. That's true. Serving the Lord does not mean that we are so spiritual that we are not practical anymore. No. Serving the Lord has its practical side. We need to be engaged in things that the Lord may receive something. And we want to do it in the best that we can. Because it is the Lord. It is the Lord. But on the other hand, serving the Lord means that we sit at His feet and hear Him. Serving the Lord includes these two sides. On the one hand, we need to sit at His feet and hear Him. You know, oftentimes people are so much engaged in things. Not that these should not be done, and let the Lord go hungry. No, it should be done. But we forgot to sit at His feet and hear Him. How can we serve Him if we do not hear Him first? Service must begin with hearing. And that's the reason why the priests in the old days, when they were consecrated, blood would be put on their right ear first, and then the thumb of the right hand, and the toe of the right foot. In other words, in serving the Lord, the first thing is to sit at His feet and hear Him. We need to know His will. We need to wait upon Him to know what He wants, what His will is, and then we rise up and do it. So there are these two sides represented by Martha and by Mary. Do you think that our Lord Jesus really scolded Martha because of His preparing the food for Him? Not so. Martha was so busy that she was distracted. And you see how she came to the Lord. She said, "Lord, You do not care. My sister, not to help me? And here you'll find this family not only received the Lord with open hearts, but this family, as the Lord came into that family, immediately He was made the master, the head. Martha did not call Mary and say, "Now Mary, you come and help me." No. Martha went to the Lord and said, "Lord, You do not care. You are the head for the family. You see how busy I am. Now, will You tell my sister to come and help me?" In other words, they recognized the Lord as the Lord. That's serving the Lord. What do you mean by serving the Lord as a family? Serving the Lord as a family means that in that family, the Lord is Lord. He is the head of this household. And everything we do, we will just go and inquire of Him. This whole family is here to do His will. Whatever His will may be, it is His will that shall be done. And we have to come to Him and inquire of Him as to what His will is. Brothers and sisters, is the Lord of our family? Whatever we do as a family, do we inquire of Him? We ask Him, what does He want us to do? And it is all under His direction. We just do not do things as we like. When there is a need, we go to the Lord and ask Him how that need should be met. What will He do with us? The Lord of the house. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a family that serves God. Even though the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled with many things, but there is only one thing needful, and your sister has chosen the better portion." But the Lord does not reject her service. The Lord was only telling her, do not be distracted in service. And then you remember one day, after the Lord had raised up Lazarus, in John chapter 11, the Bible tells us that the Lord loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. There was such a friendship. There was such a relationship between the Lord and that family. Every member of the family loved the Lord. And the Lord loved every member of that family. And after He raised up Lazarus, now of course, when the Lord was on earth, the greatest miracle He performed on earth was performed in that family. The deepest truth that He revealed to man was revealed in that family, to that family. Because in that family, He raised up the dead. That was the greatest miracle He performed on earth. And it was in connection with that family. And the greatest truth He revealed ever to a family, to man, was to that family. He revealed Himself as the resurrection and the life. Brothers and sisters, if our families will love the Lord as one, the Lord will manifest Himself to us. The Lord will be able to do many wondrous things with our family. And He will be able to teach us, to reveal to us great truth. After Lazarus was raised, there was a feast. We do not know whether that feast was in that little cottage where Martha and Mary and Lazarus live or not. Probably in a bigger house. But here you find when the Lord was entertained, all the three members of the family were there. Martha, as usual, she was busy with serving. She was preparing the food. She was trying to do the best to serve the Lord. Martha was there working with her hands. And again we say, this is an important part. Do not be so spiritual as to think it is all there in your mind. You have to use your hands. And here you find Martha was serving in a practical way. She was cooking the food, preparing the food. You know, brothers and sisters, when the wife is preparing the food for the family, she can serve the Lord by preparing food for her family. Or she can just prepare food for her family, serving her family. It depends on your heart attitude. You may be engaged in the same thing, but it can be a difference of heaven and earth. How can the wife serve the Lord in the family? When she takes her place in the family, as the body of the family, when she submits herself to her husband as unto the Lord, when she is providing, preparing for the family in food, in many other ways, but her heart was unto the Lord. The Lord said, if you do this, in as much as you have done it to the littlest of my children, you are doing to me. When a mother is preparing food for the father and for the children, she is not just preparing food for the family. As she is feeding the family, she is satisfying the Lord. You can serve God in that way. And that's the way to serve God. And so is the husband. As the husband, constrained by the love of Christ, learn to be the head of the family, provide for the family, bring up the family in the fear and love of the Lord, he is serving God. As the children are obeying their parents in all things, they are obeying the Lord. They are serving the Lord. Do not think of serving the Lord in some spectacular sense. You know, we always think now, if I do not go out to the foreign field as a missionary and go as far as you can, then you are not serving God. You can serve the Lord right in your home. Right in your home. And as members of the family, love the Lord, take their places in the family, and do the will of God in the family. No matter what their hand touches, it is serving the Lord like Martha. Like Martha. Oh, we need to serve the Lord in such practical ways. But that is only one area. And there's another aspect. The other aspect is Mary. And here you'll find when the Lord was sitting there, evidently Mary and Martha, you know, temperamentally they were different. And of course, the Lord gave to each a different gift, each a different talent. So here you'll find Mary. She was not skillful in cooking. But there is a way to serve the Lord. Here she came with an alabaster box, blessed, a pound of pure nard. Probably it was the savings of her life. You know, as a young lady, certainly being very poor, you know, and this pound of pure nard, according to Judas, and he was an economist, and he figured out it worth 300 denarii. And you know, one denarii is the wage of a man for a day. And at that time, probably they would pay the woman even less. And here you'll find Mary was able to have possessed a pound of pure nard. It was 300 days of a man's wages. And for her to accumulate that amount of money, that was something. It probably was his life saving. And as a woman, of course, she would like to have some pure nard. And maybe she was preparing that for her wedding someday. But she was so constrained by the love of Christ, she took that flask of nard, broke it, and poured upon the feet of the Lord. And she used her hair to wipe it, and the fragrance spread all over the house, serving the Lord. Martha served the Lord by preparing the food. Mary served the Lord by pouring out her love. All that she has, she poured it upon the Lord without reservation. This is worship. This is worship. She saw the worth of our Lord Jesus. How much does the Lord Jesus worth to you? Does he worth a pound of pure nard? Judas say, no, he doesn't worth that. That's a waste. But to Mary, the Lord is worth more than. But that's all she has. How much is the law worth in your eyes? The more you see the worthiness of the Lord, the more you're able to pour out, and the more the Lord is worshipped. That's serving the Lord. That's another area of serving the Lord. And here you'll find Lazarus. He was there sitting with the Lord, enjoying the feast. But was he there just enjoying himself? Sitting by the Lord? No. He was there with the Lord as a witness. And to witness for the Lord with his life was a very costly thing. Why? Because the Pharisees decided they will kill Lazarus too, because many came to see Lazarus and believe in the Lord. We are told by tradition that after Lazarus was raised from the dead, he never opened his mouth. Now, whether that was true or not, we don't know. We will say a person who is raised from the dead will be speaking all the time. He has lots to tell, right? His mouth will never be closed. But we were told by tradition that Lazarus never opened his mouth. as if it was too sacred to say something. But his life, he sat by the Lord, and by just sitting with the Lord, what a testimony it was. Many came to see him and believe in the Lord. So the Pharisees decided they will kill Lazarus too. Dear brothers and sisters, how do we serve the Lord? We serve the Lord by living a life with the Lord. And as we live such a life with the Lord, the world will see and believe in the Lord Jesus. But it is costly. It may cost your life. Are we serving the Lord in that respect? Now that family, you'll find Martha serving one way, Mary in another way, and Lazarus in another way, and you put them together and you see the service of the family. Now brothers and sisters, of course, when you apply it to us today, sometimes we have to be Martha, sometimes we have to be Mary, and sometimes we have to be Lazarus. In other words, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus should be manifested in every one of us. And yet, there are times when you find God does give gifts to different people. And therefore, we serve the Lord with the gift and the grace that He has given to each. If we serve well in the family, then you'll find our service will be to the church, the family of God. You know, there is a definite relationship between service in the church and service in the family. If you read 1 Timothy, you'll find that. A man who rules, governs his household well, is able to be an elder in the church. If a person does not govern his house well, how can he govern the church of God? That big house, big family of God. There is a relationship there. So dear brothers and sisters, how important it is, as members of a family, God has put us in a family. This is God's family. The parents, the children, the husband, the wife should learn to love the Lord and serve the Lord in the position, in the capacities that God may give to each. And if everyone learned to serve the Lord in the house, in the family, you will find your service will be extended into. And when God's people come together, when all these families come together as the family of God, you find there is much service there. There will be the practical service, the practical working of Martha. Many brothers and sisters will serve in the church in all these many things, setting the chairs, welcoming people, witnessing for the Lord, visiting the sick, helping the poor, hospitable to strangers and to the saints of the Lord. Help in many ways, many practical ways. And you know, it begins in the family. It extends to the church. Worship begins in the family. It extends to the church. When we come together, we can worship the Lord. We appreciate Him. And when we come together, there is much that we can share of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, by that, the church as the big family of God will be established. Now finally, in order to help in strengthening the life of the family for the service, I believe it is important
for a family to have a family altar.
By family altar, I do not mean that you have a literal physical altar. No, that is the Old Testament. In other words, as a family, there should be a time each day for the whole family to come together to worship the Lord, to read the Word, and to pray. Maybe a few explanations according to the understanding of the children. But you'll find the whole family should be brought together every day, once at least every day. The whole family are before the Lord. So that when the children grow up, God is no stranger to them. They are familiar with God. The atmosphere of the love of God is in the family. And brothers and sisters, if every family will have a family altar, and the family will be together in serving God, you'll find the life of the church will be greatly strengthened. Greatly strengthened. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee. Thou dost raise up families to serve Thee. Lord, we would like to declare by faith, through Thy grace, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, make this a reality. Teach us how to serve Thee in our family, and then learn to serve Thee together in the family of God. O Lord, we do pray that through Thy church, Thy kingdom shall be brought. And Thou shalt be glorified. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.